What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. First things first, follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit at That's Kinda Neat, Facebook.com/KindaNeat, and YouTube.com/That's Kinda Neat. Download that podcast app. Subscribe to Kinda Neat, leave a comment, leave a 5-star rating, all that good stuff. It's so helpful. KindaNeat.net, where everything's wrapped up, is a pretty package. If you're not following us by now, you're probably not ever going to. And for that, I say, that's okay, but also fuck you. Today, we had on the Sesh Hollow Water Boys, which is Xavier Wolf, Bones, Chris Travis, Eddie Baker. This was my first time ever interviewing four people at the same time, and it was very stressful. We only had three mics for the five of us, and my headphones didn't work, so I have no idea how the audio quality sounds. I'm hoping that it's up to snuff. Ben's going to have a hard time doing surgery, I'm sure, but I know that he will pull through and make it something. I want to preface it by saying, if you're tuning in to hear the Sesh Hollow Water Boys interview because you are a big fan of theirs, I'm going to say up front, I can already tell you two things. One, you're going to be disappointed by my lack of knowledge of them, because most of the people who I have on here, I only have a surface level knowledge of their music. I try to find out about their lives while I do the interview. I don't come in prepared, and I don't come in with like a lot of research done. So I knew next to nothing about these dudes, except that they have a very rabid fan base and that they put on really tight shows, and that I just think their whole aesthetic video wise and just their movement is fucking dope to me. And so that is my number one preface. And my number two is, if you're a big fan of theirs, you're going to think that I'm a fucking douchebag, and that's fine, because I'm used to hearing that, and I'm perfectly okay with that. That being said, I try to do my best to pull a little bit of information out of all four of these dudes. It's hard to juggle an interview that way. And actually, then, you know, Elliot, their manager, jumps in for a while, too. So really, I'm juggling five people in an interview, and let's just fucking see Larry King try to do that shit. But it was dope, man. These guys, I saw them at Low End the other week, and I'd been hearing about their shows, and then I saw one, and I went, holy shit, like, the movement is, like, so real. The kids are so rabid, and their fans are they treat their fans with so much respect, and I have to respect people that are able to do that, and so it's very refreshing to see. That being said, I have a show coming up at the Lyric Theater on October 25th. It's this Saturday, so if you're listening to this part, buy a ticket online. Go to lyrictheaterla.com and buy some tickets. They're $10. You get to see me and Mark, and you see Johnny Polygon, you see Caleb Stone, and you see our very special opening guest, who was a former episode of Kinda Neat. So that will be dope. Also, big breakthrough in Alzheimer's research this week that I just read about, where they were able to recreate human brain cells with Alzheimer's in a petri dish. And so now they're going to be able to recreate like these brain cells that have Alzheimer's and try to do, you know, run tests and experiments or test drugs on these, rather than just, I feel like formerly they'd been doing it in mice, and I read that like the DNA of mice and humans wasn't close enough to where they were able to get any like meaningful test results as far as drug experiments. So this is a huge breakthrough, and the reason that I bring that up is because I am doing the Alzheimer's Association's Walk to End Alzheimer's on November 2nd, and I would love it if you guys would visit the link in a video on youtube.com/thatskindaneat. There's a video with links provided to where you can donate some of your hard-earned money for a cause that means so much to my family and me, and hope that you guys will partake in that. So yeah, I don't know, I'm gonna listen to this at the same time you guys are listening to it for the first time and see how it was trying to juggle four people in an interview. I'm exhausted from doing it. It was very tiring, but I like these guys, and I like their vibe. I like their aesthetic, and I'm absolutely positive that huge things are gonna happen to these dudes, and you guys are gonna be hearing about it. If it's your first time hearing about them through this podcast, congrats. If you're a fan here listening to them and want to learn more, hopefully you learn a little bit. With that being said, let's get into my conversation with Bones, Eddie Baker, Chris Travis, and Xavier Wolf, the Sesh Hollow Water Boys. Here it is. Everyone introduce yourselves first so that those of us listening at home can decipher whose voice from who. Let's go from right to left.
This is my voice. If you are wondering whose voice it is, just know it's mine. We're going to go to the...
That was Bones, and next to Bones we have...
Eddie Baker.
Popping peas profusely. That's so all right. Who do we got next to Eddie Baker?
Chris Travis, bro.
Chris Travis.
Waterboy ZNT.
Yes.
And you are?
Oh, I'm Xavier Wolf. Hollow Squad. Right.
Xavier Wolf. Mm-hmm. And together you guys are Team Sesh, correct?
The performing powerhouse, we're Sesh Hollow Waterboys.
Sesh Hollow Waterboys.
But
so.
Due to, like, some copyright shit,
yeah.
Like, we have to change our shit to, like, Goo Goo Dolls, yeah. Because Goo Goo Dolls isn't, like, doing some shit anymore.
Exactly.
So, like, similar to the Washington Redskins, we're touring under copyright, yeah. So you guys are the Goo Goo Dolls from now on.
We tour under Goo Goo Dolls.
Okay, so, you guys can find them on Twitter as Goo Goo Dolls, tweet at them.
No, at Goo Goo Dolls Official 2, because obviously Official was just taken. Yeah, Goo Goo Dolls 2.
Goo Goo Dolls too. Wonderful. How did you guys meet? I'm gonna preface this by saying, first and foremost, I am not prepared for this motherfucker. Like, I don't do any research, and also I usually only do one person at a time during the interviews, so this is a very intimidating interview for me already,
very
because
rare.
There's four of you guys. It's very rare, very based. We're gonna keep it plur, of course. I'm trying to sound as young as I possibly can. But also, maybe your fans that are tuning in will be like, yo, why is he asking these basic ass questions? But I go under the assumption that when I do these, that people have not heard of the people I'm interviewing yet. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to just start from the beginning. So first and foremost, how did you guys all meet each other? Is it a long story?
Not really.
But it all goes back. Hey, one place.
What?
Minnesota.
Exactly.
Think about it.
Minnesota. What happened?
Minnesota.
Internet
when,
cafe.
When
in
he
Minnesota.
Was doing, when he was, because he, cause I used to live near him, like in my neighborhood when I lived in Michigan, but I moved to Minnesota for like 2 years and like I met him, and like we just started fucking around, and
in the
like
garage.
Making music, and then he said that he like met Xavier online or something,
yeah.
Like through beats because Xavier used to make beats under like DJ Quicksand. Wasn't that it? Was that it though?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it
was. Okay. That was his old beat name, and then he was neighbors with him, and then just, you know, two neighbors. You know, we all got together when we were like 13, started hanging out.
So when you were 13?
Like, yeah, so like 7 years ago.
Get the fuck out! Wait, but you're older than these guys, right?
Yeah.
So you're like the big homie.
I'm like 30, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like 30, yeah.
Oh, let's say like 30 instead of just 30.
Okay, so let me get this straight.
I'm like 30.
Bones, you're living in Michigan, and you meet Eddie, who's living in Minnesota, online, right? You know Xavier because he's making beats as DJ Quicksand, is that what you said?
We met each other on the internet, man.
On the internet?
Yeah, and then we fucking met up out here in Cali.
Yep.
And, you know what I'm saying? We just started doing shit.
They're from Memphis.
Yeah, me and Chris from Memphis, Tennessee.
So you and Chris are from Memphis. Did you guys know each other growing up?
Yeah, I've been knowing this nigga since middle school.
Since middle school? Yeah. What kind of school? What was Memphis like?
Terrible.
Why terrible?
Because, I mean, it's all right.
Good and bad.
Like, yeah, it's good and bad. If you ain't from there, then you ain't going to... You ain't gonna adapt to this shit, but like if you're from there, then you know
it's just the way it is.
Where to go, what to do.
I knew it was ghetto after I saw Hustle and Flow.
But so when you say it's ghetto, is it a pretty heavily segregated city or what?
Not really.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? You got the rich people that live in the suburbs and shit, then you go to the city.
Yeah,
then
it's
you
mostly
got, the
middle
class and shit.
Yeah.
It's mostly Asian.
Yeah, but mostly it's mostly black people in the city though.
Yeah, yeah.
We got some Asians too.
What was you guys' schools like? I mean,
fun.
Memphis education, how is it?
City schools was more live than public
city schools.
City
schools was live as fuck.
But they both was crunk.
Yeah,
it was just fun.
What'd you guys' folks do?
Folks?
Yeah, your parents.
Oh, my mom, she worked at the airport.
What'd your dads do?
Pops? Oh, that nigga smoke weed.
Really?
Man, I don't know what else. That nigga smoke weed, drive around.
I'm trying to dive right into like, what's your dad around?
My dad was a barber.
He's a barber?
Oh, my dad did cut hair. My barber was a barber. My dad was a barber. He cut my hair. Used to.
When you guys met, were you making music together from a young age? Since you've known each other since Memphis in middle school?
No, we were smoking. We were smoking and skating and shit.
Smoking and skating.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a big skate culture out there, or what?
Nah, not really. Not but really, it's straight though. It's bigger than it was when we was in middle school.
Oh no shit. That's tight.
Yeah.
You guys bounced around a bit. Your brother was telling me, Bones, like you guys are from all over, or what? How long were you in Michigan?
For like 7 years.
Yeah.
Or like 8 years.
Was that where you would call home, or where would you call home?
Yeah, I mean, I spent more of my life there than anywhere.
What did you do in Michigan to stay busy?
Nothing really. Honestly, nothing.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
I mean, what, grew up in front of the TV?
No, like just doing dumb stuff. It's like dumb shit. That's all. Yeah.
Troubled youth. Where are you from, Eddie? You from Minnesota?
Ontario, California.
You're from Ontario?
Yeah. Ontario, Canada.
Oh, no shit. So you didn't have to move far to come up here to L.A. then?
No, all my family, like my mom and my dad from L.A.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I was always out here.
Yeah, so you're a product of you're a fucking 80s, 90s baby.
90s baby.
90s baby. Yeah, for sure. Out here through the riots and all that shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think my auntie stole a TV to go during the riots.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Still got that tube TV.
My mom was all like, I had to get you out. I was like, I would have got Sega, all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Where you went to school in Ontario?
I went to school in Ontario, like, for military school, and then...
Military school?
Yeah, and then I just went to a bunch of different schools.
Wait, how old are you in military school? Like, is that your junior high school, or what?
5th to 6th.
Really? Why? You get in trouble as a kid? You just bad? I feel like all of you guys are just bad.
Just bad.
Yeah.
Trouble youth, like you said.
Yeah, trouble youth.
I wouldn't even say trouble youth.
Everybody though. Bad.
Just bad.
Everybody is bad, I agree with that. We're all of
at
you...
At some point.
Yeah. Did all of you guys grow up on rap music, or do any of you have, like, surprising, like, oh, no, I was, like, into fucking some other shit?
Rock and rap.
Yeah, rock and rap.
Rock and rap, yeah.
That's the perfect ingredients to make what the fuck.
I like Kid. Like, that's why I like some of his, like, rock shit, because it's, like, it reminds me, like, Blink-182 and Kid Rock.
So. Oh, shit.
I fold Bobby Womack and shit, too.
Yeah, I fuck
blues, old school blues, bro. You know what I'm saying? Rock, rap, blues.
Y'all Memphis, yeah. Y'all shit fucking have, like, the jazz and blues and shit like that.
Yeah, Memphis has a big blues scene.
Yeah, Memphis got a good music scene.
Where's John Coltrane from?
I don't know.
Who is that? Let's Google that.
John Coltrane. I'm going to sound like an idiot. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's from. Who is John Coltrane? He's a jazz.
Oh, no, I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie.
He's over here. He's like, yeah,
no, we ain't got no culture out here. No, we ain't got no culture out here.
So I know that a lot of you guys have just like a very storied history within the last few years of like the internet rap shit. So I kind of want to break everything down just so I can understand it more. Because for full disclosure, I've been hearing the names forever. I mean, I've been hearing. Like, Xavier used to go by Ethelwolf, yeah, or Ethelwolf or Ethelwolf, forgive me. Both, just however people felt like pronouncing it. So I've been hearing your name with, like, Raider Clan shit for, like, 3-4 years now. Bones, I've been hearing about for a couple years.
maybe 2 years.
2 years? My bad. Wow. Barely. Yeah. I feel like 20, well, not yeah, like, long. Probably 2012. You're right,
about
you're right.
Two, yeah. I was only with them niggas for, like,
a year and a half.
Exactly. Like,
yeah. Well, so, yeah, break that down to me, because I don't really know the story. I know that...
It's broken down.
What's that?
It's broken down.
It's broken down? It's been spoken on too much?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just Hollow Squad.
Hollow Squad all day. All right, cool. I went to you guys' Low End Theory show a few weeks ago, and that was when I was like, I had been seeing it online, and then when I saw it in person, it's like a whole different feeling, and it's very much more real. You guys' following is like super heavy. How long ago did that start with you? Like, when did the squad come together as to what it is right now?
Like last year.
I mean, everybody really already had their fan, you know what I'm saying? Fan base and shit. You know what I'm saying? He had his shit. I had my shit. You know what I'm saying? They had that shit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody was working. We just came together.
When we came together, you just joined all the
shit. Yeah.
The fans clash. Yeah. They get cool with each other because they feel like, oh, you listen to the same shit.
Yeah.
You listen to this nigga, I listen to this nigga. Then, you know, it go like that. And like, so like, we clicked up heavy like last summer.
Last summer?
Yeah.
And was it all out in LA?
Show. Yeah, out here in LA. Then we did the first LA show, and the first LA show turned out good.
When was the first LA show? Last summer?
Last summer, yeah.
You guys doing warehouse shows or what?
That was a warehouse show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the domain.
Yep. And then after that, it just kept getting bigger. Every LA show, It's bigger than the last one.
How did you guys figure out how to throw like warehouse shows? Because I feel like that's a very niche thing that people do here, and it's not popular in a lot of places.
I don't know. It's just, we just do whatever's simple. That just, it's just, it's just easy.
Yeah.
Well, it's just simple. Get a warehouse, throw a party.
Yeah. Like, well, how did you go about finding, like, you know, the sound systems?
L's hooked it up.
L does all that.
He hit the first tour. We did like a first tour before, like, it was just us four with like a bunch of other dudes.
Yeah.
And he set up all that shit, you know what I'm saying? So when we did like the second time with just us four, L basically fucking did all that shit, you know what I'm saying? He set up all the shit.
Yeah, he's definitely.
So when you guys are talking about L, that is your brother, who is sitting on the floor next to us. And I spoke to him at low end for about a half an hour. He's telling me, like, he's basically, like, putting you guys, like, through a fucking rap business boot camp.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me about that. Like, what's happening in your lives right now?
Well, Eddie gets woken up at 7.
Cigarette ashes.
He's got to go outside and raise the flag.
Yeah. He just put us on that fucking light.
No, it's just all at the right time. Yeah. Like, Elliot... Xavier being like the hardest fucking rapper, like Chris being the hardest rapper, all these guys like just making the hardest fucking music.
Yeah.
And Elliot always being good with like talking to people and shit. Like
he can sure
do,
lazy.
He can do, he does his thing, and everybody does their thing, and it all works.
Yeah, right.
All those just parts. Yeah.
Right. So when you guys clicked up last summer and decided to make it like an official, you know, membership, a collective, there you go, like whatever you guys want to refer to it as, a clique, I guess. Yeah, there you go. How did it initially come together? Were you making videos for people and you just realized like I vibe good with these guys, or was it like,
I mean,
everybody's mutual fans of each other?
Because like the video shit, that was just like just work shit, but like we were just all cool. Like when we were shooting a video, we were just chill as fuck talking.
They don't get along with anybody else.
Yeah,
they don't get along with chilling. Other people. I'll
nope.
say that.
Nope.
So Elliot's saying that they don't get along with anybody else, but
they keep to themselves. So when they connected with each other personally, yeah, and the fact they fuck with each other musically, it made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They started hitting us up and wanted to see all them. So as a fan, you'd want to hear all your four favorite artists out
right,
together.
Right. So you guys share like a collective kind of lonerism of sorts, like where maybe the fact that you guys don't like anybody else makes you like each other a little bit more?
Well, honestly, I don't even know if there should even be a sentence or anything to describe it, because it's just like people fall into pockets together at certain points in life, just like you and him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how'd you guys meet?
Oh, it's a long story. I mean, like, we're actually half brothers.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Okay, get that.
No, yeah, I get like, it. Like, shit just works out.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just meet the people that you're supposed to team up with.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, so it was kismet. It was fate.
I think even calling it fate's even ridiculous. I think even calling it anything is weird. I think it just happens.
It just happened. Because, like, I can't say, like, one day we was like, oh, well, let's just team up and fucking make it. It just, like, niggas smoke together and fucking kick it and party. And, yeah, it just fell into the puzzle.
Yeah. So how long was it after you guys started doing shows together that you guys like moved in and started like really doing this 24 hours a day, working on stuff all the time?
It's been like 2 years straight. Since
every day working every day. On music, bro. Since some way.
Every fucking day.
Yeah. Every day smoking and music.
Yeah.
In Bones' case,
we were living in Elliot's house videos for like damn near a year.
Yeah.
And just making music.
Yeah, how does that work? Elliot's out here. You have like a normal job and shit. And how did you have room for everybody at the crib?
We squished that motherfucker.
We weren't even squished though. Like we was actually pretty straight. Like
everyone was cool. Like I saw the big picture and I saw.
Shout out to Elliot's wife though too. You know what I'm saying? Because she's the one that tolerated us for like a year and a half.
She understood what I was, you know, and she and all the guys are like they're like my family now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know they. You know, we're there with my daughter. Like, it's a whole thing. So, it's not weird. Everyone pitches in at the house and shit like that.
Yeah.
But everyone was productive. Yep. They had to come out from Memphis. Everything could get done here a lot easier. You know what I mean? And they're motivated when they're together a lot more.
Yeah.
It, like, wasn't no chilling shit. Like, we wasn't just chilling at the crib.
Yeah, we was chilling, but like, working and chilling.
Like, niggas was making music every day.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when you guys start moving in there, does he sit down with you and have a meeting and is like, look... In order for this to happen, everybody has to be working or what?
No. We just understand.
Everybody's on the same page. I don't know.
And there's four of us. So like, you see a nigga working on shit.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
Working on shit, too.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't be lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys' output is insane. Like, how many tapes have all of you guys put out this year?
This year, I put out, like...
Xavier's put out
three
tapes
like
this
that.
Year.
Something like that.
Yeah. Werewolf, how many tapes continue. Have you got, Chris?
I think I put out like probably about three or four.
Yeah,
three or four tapes. What about you, Eddie?
Four
tapes. Bones.
Like five.
Five
six.
Tapes.
I don't know.
Six, I think now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, a lot.
So full transparency, I'm most familiar with your output. I know a lot of your songs are like kind of like shorter. They're like punk rock format, almost like a minute or two long sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are all of you guys shit like that? Or do
yeah,
you?
Sometimes we do that.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. Like I get fucking, I'm not even trying to be like, oh, like I'm cool because I don't care. But it's like I get late. Like they can go.
Yeah.
They can go forever.
Chris,
like kill
Chris
it. Both of them.
Go.
No, he, but I'm just saying, them two,
yeah.
You could put on a fucking, like, I'm just saying, they've killed 5-minute songs, 6-minute songs.
Yeah.
But just going.
Yeah.
Just sure. going.
Yeah, sometimes, but like, all of us, or we'll do like little short 1-2-minute songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it don't matter. It just depends on what's just what called for on the beat. Yeah. And then when we record, most of us, we don't really do hooks most of the time. Sometimes we hear a beat and we start at the beginning and go straight through to a finish. You know what I'm saying? And just, that's
yeah,
just
it's definitely not like the verse,
yeah, not
chorus,
verse,
bridge
hook.
Shit.
Yeah, we don't do that shit. We just either straight through or sometimes we'll put a hook in there, but we don't call it a hook. We just put some in there. You know, we don't call shit hooks and all that shit. We just put whatever we do in the shit.
Whatever you're feeling at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when I watched you guys' show, it seemed like there's a lot of like chants that the audience knew and shit like that.
But that's the funny thing. It's like there's really probably only like 5 songs out of all of us in 2 hours that actually repeat a line twice.
Right.
Because it's like people chant the actual just the live lyrics with no repeating. Like even the ones that are only said once.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's awesome.
So when you guys were all solo acts before kind of becoming Voltron, were things working out solo for you? Like, you know, like when there was a Xavier Wolf show, would it be like, you know, like, were 400 kids showing up? Like, what was happening? Were people coming and knowing the words?
I mean, back then, it was. I still had fans, but but now it's like, of course, it's bigger with all of us.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like, I've only done a few shows by myself, but, like, I've done most of my shows with one of them or all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you guys were saying the first, like, big show in L.A. was, like, last summer. Were there moments before that where you guys had your first, like, oh shit moments where you're like, oh, this is like starting to work before that happened?
No, I mean, kind of.
We all
like,
had like cool rap career. We wasn't like popular.
Yeah, but like, it's like for some reason we never just had that moment like you might see in the movies where they be like, oh my God, this is really happening. We just see little shit and we just go to the next shit. Keep it going. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't just stop on that one
shit.
We're
starting to feel like that now.
Yeah.
It's not even,
like nothing's
like
big no more.
Like all of 20K followers, 30K he got, like that shit. It ain't never enough. That shit don't mean shit. You gotta keep all the numbers on YouTube and shit. Like SoundCloud plays, you just want more. You know what I'm saying? They gotta keep going.
Yeah.
So it ain't.
It just ain't no stopping shit. Nope.
Do all of you guys make beats too?
I make beats.
Chris makes beats.
I'm finna make beats.
You're about to start making beats?
Yeah, I just gotta get my time straight.
You make beats?
No.
So how do you guys, with as much music as you're making, how do you go about finding your beats?
Producers online.
Like, is it just inboxes just getting filled daily with kids that just are fucking...
I'll be finding producers that...
Yeah, it's
that. Work based shit.
Or we'll find them on SoundCloud.
So you're like SoundCloud surfing a lot of time.
Or just like, if I hear them with an artist I like or some shit, you know what I'm saying? I'll reach out on Twitter or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They're at the point where they all get reached out to.
Yeah. The producers hit us up and then they'll send us beats and then like, we like them, we use them.
When you kill beats, they gonna sing.
Yeah,
beats.
They sing. Right.
Like, it's not hard when you got, you know what I'm saying, like your fan base and shit. Producers sing you beats, so.
Yeah, what are you guys gonna do when it gets to that point where? I always worry, like when you're getting random beats from kids in a fucking email. You know what I mean? Like, what happens when one of those songs like hits, and then the producer's like, it's pay up or something. You know what I mean?
That's the underground.
Artists, listen, rappers or singers or whatever can't be bitches, and like producers can't be bitches because there's two flaws. Like, because artists need the beats, and what do beats like? Everybody needs credit, you know.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Like producers, all those drum kits. Rarely do people like make their own noises, but those sounds aren't some of those producer sounds used in the first place. Those are from FL Studio.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, those actually drum kits, those sounds. So how can you sell that?
Right.
But then those guys get mad at rappers for trying to like do. I understand that everybody needs respect and people listening to their music.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course. It's just funny because, yeah.
We give them the credit. Fuck, if they can have it.
Yeah. How did you get into video making? You were telling me before we started that, like, everybody here edits now. Yeah?
I don't edit.
You don't edit. What do you do? No, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, so what is...
Drink beer, smoke weed.
Drink beer. Chill it out there.
Chit-chat. I live in downtown.
So when did you start shooting video?
Like shooting like for fun or shooting like a
sure shooting for fun, like learning the process. Did like you take five. Classes or anything?
No like five or six
when you're five,
just little shit. Yeah, like, yeah, obviously with the camcorder.
Yeah
and then
so when did you start teaching yourself to edit?
When I was like 10.
That early?
Yeah.
Wow. For what? Just for like, were you doing it just on your own time?
Because it's Michigan and there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
He was like 6 foot when he was 10, though. He's like 6 foot 4 now. So he's like a big motherfucker. Big motherfucker.
Couldn't leave the house. Oh, I was like Jack. They wanted me to leave the house.
So your dad's a photographer. Is that like how he kept a roof over your guys' head? Was a professional photographer?
Yeah, and website designing.
What sort of stuff did he shoot?
He didn't really have a really type. He did a lot of old sports ads, but yeah. He does like... lifestyle stuff too. I don't know, just a lot of pictures.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Oh, he shot for Anthrax and Blue Oyster Cult. Elliot's saying, that's tight. So you're seeing a bunch of camera equipment around the house as a kid.
Yeah, of course.
And you
yeah,
start
yeah.
tinkering with it.
Yeah,
that's interesting. My best friend is a professional photographer. And he has three kids, and like
yeah.
now they're six oh, and yeah. 10, they're and they're starting to pick it up and tinkering. You
they're
know what
be
I mean?
Amazing.
Like, yeah, yeah. The 6-year-old's Instagram is already cracking. It's crazy.
I already know. Yeah. That shit's wild, man.
It's about to be a whole different ballgame in the next generation.
It's about to be
great.
A lot of diseases and shit are going to be solved and shit.
Yeah, I believe that.
A lot of shit's going to be cured.
So what did you start editing on? Just a computer? Like there's a computer sitting around the house. You had some editing software?
Yeah. It's fucking probably iMovie.
Yeah.
Or no, Windows Movie Maker. And then like fucking Sony Vegas. And then iMovie for like 8 years. And then fucking Final Cut, and then After Effects, and just little shit.
I mean, you're only 20, right? You're like a youngster. So what age did you start rapping, would you say?
Like wanting to put out music? Like, hey, maybe
sure.
I should do this.
Sure. Or like even before that, are there any like rap things that you can think of that you were doing that were a precursor to what you're like foreshadowing what you're doing
I mean,
now?
I was making rap songs.
Yeah. At what age?
13, 12, 13. Yeah.
And even before that, probably memorizing shit and being
yeah,
able
not
to
actually
recite
recording,
it.
Though. Yeah. I couldn't get the hang of that until I was like 13 or 14.
Right, right. And so like what programs did you first start recording on?
GarageBand.
Yeah. You still have the old stuff laying around or what?
Yeah.
How's it sound?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah?
No, of course
it's
not.
It's terrible.
It's fucking terrible. It's, yeah. it's great, though.
Yeah,
cause
yeah.
Because it's terrible. It's amazing. It's better than my new shit. Seriously.
Nice. So when did you shoot your first music video?
14.
At 14?
Yeah.
And what was it like?
I was at the skate park with my friends.
Yeah.
This is in my shitty basement. That's pretty much it. Just terrible shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, my life's pretty much been nothing really too, like, mentionable up until about, like, a couple weeks ago? Yeah, like, very recent.
I'm catching you right at the right time that it was a couple weeks ago. No.
This is my first day out of the womb, you know. It's really good.
Yeah. When do you start shooting the VHS shit that you're so known for now?
Kind of recently, when I was like 16, it's like 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
When I started putting it out.
Well, that's forever ago in the internet days. Like a,
yeah, for sure.
That's OG shit.
OG.
That's 10 years on the internet.
OG. Was there a conscientious, or was there a moment where you're like, oh shit, like this look fits my sound?
No, because people thought it sucked.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People thought that shit sucked for a while.
Whenever something's different, it's kind of like people backlash.
Oh, and
it
was like a shitty camera, so you know kids are going to be like, get a new camera or something like that. Something
right,
funny.
Right.
It's pretty terrible, though, that whole camera thing. It's really made me not like filming, and that's, like, my favorite thing to do. So people just suck the fun and love out of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you ever shoot with, a DSLR, or are you VHS for life or
no,
what?
No, yeah, of course. I love shooting with all sorts of things, like just old camera, 3 CCDs, like HDs. Like, I love just all cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're editing, and then everybody moves into the house. And how do you learn to edit? How do you guys start learning to edit?
I've been editing. Yeah,
you've been editing before that, too? When did you start editing?
Like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get your hands on just some bootleg software or something? Or, like, did somebody teach you?
I just got...
What you started on?
I started on iMovie and Final Cut.
I started on Windows.
On Windows?
Went to that iMovie shit.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you? Are you guys trying to do music videos as well? Is that what you started editing for?
Yeah, I did all my
music videos. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
His shit too. He be doing his shit. We all did our shit just from the M. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no video.
This nigga used to hold. This nigga used to hold the camera. Like yeah, some of my
that shit in the game, bro.
Yeah, some of my like older videos. This nigga, it's just me and him. He'll hold the camera while we go out and, you know what I'm saying, shoot the shit, and then I cut it up at the house. Or like for his videos, I hold the camera for him and do, you know what I'm saying, just shoot the shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then we just do it like that because, you know,
because there ain't a bunch of fucking film crews in Memphis and shit, so you guys just had to make it happen. Yeah,
we just did this shit. It was easy.
Yeah, and then, like, what happens when you guys start putting your music videos online? Was there a good response from the jump or what? Like, did videos start getting views early?
Kind of.
It was all right. It wasn't just, you know what I'm saying, as much as we making now, but you know what I'm saying?
We just kept going.
Yeah, it was just kept
we just
on
keep
going,
doing it, and then we just put
shit gonna get,
shit.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, everything gonna get old, you know what I'm saying? That's when niggas gonna go. That's what niggas gonna go to, you know what I'm saying?
I always wanted that shit. Like, these just get views at first.
Huh?
I always wanted that too, did y'all just, like, start off getting views at first?
Nah, not really.
I had to build my shit from the ground up.
Had to build it up, bro.
Yeah. So yeah, the first shit that you put out is probably like a fart in the wind, and then after a few more, pardon my analogy.
Still farting in the wind.
Nah, I mean you guys' views are pretty up though now.
Yeah,
like.
but I personally I still haven't went like hard as fuck on anything. I ain't made a hard song yet. I ain't put out a dope video yet. I ain't did shit yet. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel. I'm just like, shit.
So that's all to say, like, you just feel like you're never satisfied.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how all of us is. Because, bro, we
every project
we get tired
a
of a new song we did next day. Yep. You know what I'm saying? We'll do the song, finish it, mix it up, and it next day we'll be like, all right, next. That shit ain't even. Yep. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always say, like, and I have done a lot of these podcasts, and I probably have said this on, like, 80% of them, but it's like, I feel like if you're not satisfied with your creative output, that's just a sign that you're constantly growing. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you don't feel like what you just made is good enough, then that means tomorrow you're going to grow into something a little better. And so, you know, it's refreshing to hear that.
If you're satisfied with kind of, damn, it'd kind of be hard to find some really, like, bad thing, but if you're satisfied with anything, you suck.
If you're satisfied, you're kind of complacent, right?
Being satisfied,
whatever
is
that
a good
is,
thing
whatever,
all the
whatever
time.
Being satisfied means, I know it brings it. It's an umbrella term that just has so many other things along with it. That means so much fucked up shit. If you're like satisfied with,
yeah,
because
that means
shit.
That you're satisfied, you don't want to do anything.
Because you're like,
exactly. All right,
it's get good. Yeah. Saying something's good kind of sucks.
The people who get satisfied with
their
music,
oh yeah, they're not
like that, they don't do shit no more. You know what I'm saying? They don't have. They brain can't hit their creative side no more, and I don't want this shit to happen. Yeah,
nobody should be satisfied, bro.
Yep.
We ain't done shit yet.
I feel like I ain't did a show yet. I ain't did nothing.
Yeah.
It's just it feel like the first day to me every day. Same when I used to wake up, roll a blunt, and hop on the computer every damn day. Wake up, roll a blunt, and that's all I wanted to do. I look forward to doing that shit every day. That's all I did. I worked at FedEx back in the day, but like, once I started getting hit,
FedEx Kinko's, bro.
See, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody, I'll never go back.
I won't either. I quit my shit once the music started getting straight. I said, "Fuck FedEx."
Yeah,
and I still was waking up, smoking, doing music. But I'm still not. I want to get as fired up as I was back then.
Well, what do you feel is the end goal? If you're not satisfied and you feel like this is the beginning, what's the end game?
I don't know. I eventually want to. I don't think I should tell. I ain't gonna tell.
There's no end game.
Work until I'm old. 30,100 million. You hear me? Bands, nigga. Bands.
Got moolah.
And money.
Bricks.
Look, when you get rich as fuck, you still gonna work like a motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at Birdman.
He's still Birdman.
I wanna be like a fucking R&B singer.
But I'm gonna give a lot of money to the children.
At work, basically.
Around the world.
Florida.
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything.
I'm gonna invest in some shit.
Invest.
No, I'm not saying he's gonna not invest. I'm sure you will invest. I know you will. But like, that's like asking kids like what they wanna be.
No, absolutely.
When they grow up, because totally.
Yeah, well, and that's the crazy thing is, like, I have to keep reminding myself, like, oh, wait, yeah, like, you guys are a bunch of, like, young fucking
kids.
Oh,
no, not even like
that.
But I'm just saying, like,
no, that's real,
2 years could change a lot.
When I was your age, I had no idea what the end game was when I was 20, but also things weren't cracking for me when I was 20 like they are for you guys, you know what I mean? Like, shit is very much happening in your world right now, and that's gotta be a strange feeling.
I'm 30,
so young, bro.
Quit saying
this kid is not 30, bro.
You're 29.
Nah, I'm 29.
He's all excited about being 30.
I know.
Nah, bro, we all... He the oldest. Out of us four.
Yeah.
But he ain't shit but 23.
You're 23?
Yeah.
You lying. I really believe that you were 30.
He looks
like beard, you know what I'm saying? It's that maturity.
Yeah.
Plus the D-word.
Once you said you were 29, I was going to give you a pep talk like, hey, man, don't worry about it. When you turn 30, actually, things are good. When I turned 30, I was like, oh, man, these young hoes ain't going to mess with me no more. But when I turned 30, and now you tell a 21-year-old, like, oh, I'm 30, they look at you like, oh, can you be my daddy? And also, like, oh, you must have your shit together and have good credit. And I'm like, yeah, all of those things are true, girl. What's
wrong with you? Girl, my apartment told I was 30, she going to be like, what the fuck? She going to fucking trip out. Like, you ain't shit, nigga.
I'm 30. I had them
banned. Get your money out.
Yeah, so you guys, I don't know, man, like, I'm still just fucking blown away and, like, kind of living vicariously through that low-end show that I saw the other day. Like, I want to go to one of your warehouse shows now because the energy was so palpable there. Like, low-end is not a place that's really known for, like, palpable energy that way, but you guys had, obviously, the line was all the way around the fucking block. Not everybody who wanted to get in could get in, and once they were in, by the time you guys took the stage, it was like goddamn Beatlemania or something, like, you know.
Shout out to our fans, too.
You guys' fan base was amazing, but also it feels very familial in that I could tell that all of them had been to shows before. You guys probably recognize a lot of their faces. I saw one kid come up to Elliot, and this is a really fucking cool maneuver. One kid came up to Elliot and said, hey, I drove from San Diego, and I couldn't get in tonight. And Elliot said, you know what? Tweet at me. I'm going to get you some gear. I'll get you a shirt or something for free because I feel bad that you didn't get in. So where do you guys, I mean, is it just instinctual to be able to deal with fans on that level to where you make them feel as though they are a part of your team?
They are.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's correct. They are.
But here's the thing. What's the difference between like a fan and like a friend that likes your music?
Exactly. That's how I feel like it is.
And I completely agree with that. And you're preaching to the choir in that sense. But at the same time, you guys have to know as many rappers as I know that don't act that way.
Hell yeah.
Those rappers suck.
They
big,
suck. That's why these rappers ain't shit. These niggas don't know what they do.
Because people that support your music, the reason why I think our people are like supporters come back, because it's like one thing I noticed, like we get down and mosh with our fans and shit like that. Like when I go to other shows and shit, you can't touch artists.
Yeah,
you know
they play
like
the Avril Lavigne like 20 feet away shit.
Yeah, exactly. And that shit, like, yeah, that shit weird as hell.
I've shook in the same fan. I don't like to call them fans. I call them supporters, whatever. Yeah. But like, I like performing. I've shook in the same nigga hand like 30 times just because. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know how they just keep putting it out there. Like, I just do it every time. You know what I'm saying?
We don't even do mean greets at our shows. You know what I mean? We
take pictures with everybody.
Buy a ticket. That's enough for.
San Diego. They tried to make us do like a meet and greet. Like some kid did through a show. Like didn't tell us, it was like charging kids
to meet
like
us.
To pay more to meet us.
We smoking weed outside, chilling with everybody.
We chill for free, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like them niggas tripping. That shit was gay. That shit weak as fuck.
I agree completely with that. I don't know, like, I know that we don't know each other at all, none of us. We've met, like, very briefly at parties and such, but what I was going to say is, like, I've been doing this for a long time, and I'm just now kind of, like, figuring out what you guys seem to have inherently figured out, that it is kind of a family, and, like, getting kids to your shows and being a part of that with them is very important. And it's funny because, like, now that I'm, like, an older dude that does this and throws shows, I feel like part of my responsibility is to like look a parent in the eye and be like, yo, your fucking kid is safe at my show and shit. You know what I mean? And they're going to come home cool.
It was funny. We had one girl in Houston that went missing from the show.
No shit.
She didn't even go.
Laugh
but
afterwards.
Look. But look, because she didn't even go missing. That's the whole thing. Like, this bitch just been fucking with some nigga. Yeah. Some older nigga. You know what I'm saying?
It was on the news.
And we were thinking, like, we don't have no creeps at our shows.
Yeah, like we don't got creep niggas at our shows and shit. Turns out she was just horny, bro.
She was just trying to get some meat.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she's just doing her thing.
Yeah.
Next subject.
Hey, he's a damn dude. Shit crazy.
Next subject, please.
Yeah. Hey, but we did have a little guy in our DC show.
We had a little guy. What?
Remember that little boy? The little boy,
he was at our DC show.
Yeah, the little boy. Yes, the little boy that asked me for some backwoods.
Oh my fuck!
What happened?
He was just cool as fuck. I was like, how old are you? He's like, I'm 13.
Oh.
I was like, oh shit!
You gonna smoke weed? Kids smoke out of backwoods.
Yeah, and he smoked backwoods. Placement. So I was like, well,
we need that sponsorship backwoods.
That's so funny. Yeah,
on Twitter.
So, what's a day to day like at the compound now that you guys just moved into your own crib? Yeah, and how is that?
Waking up, smoking a blunt.
Play video games. Play PlayStation. Make cool. Ship out.
and do the same shit.
Anybody, does anybody have weird roommate quirks? Because I know moving in with best friends can be fucking tough sometimes.
We all live alone. Dude, I got a best, I got a good roommate quirk.
What's your, what is it?
His name is Dave. The quirk is named
Dave.
Yeah, fuck Dave.
Fuck Dave.
He works from like 11 in the morning to like 1 at night,
yeah.
or like 1 in the morning, so yeah. it's like 13 hours, like unheard of, right?
Yeah.
But he gets off at like 8 and stays there for 4 hours, like by choice.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious. It's like I live alone,
yeah.
you know, and he's paying like $1,000, so it's great. Shout out Dave for paying $1,000.
Hey, shout out to Dave for being the roommate never that's never there.
Yeah,
that's perfect. That's, yeah. awesome. That's perfect.
Yeah, we gotta get him to grill real soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking about that. You guys do it. You know he's gonna fuck grill. Something up. He's
I was gonna think but about he's a grilling. Fucking cook. I could grill though. Remember when we did grill though at your house, bro? We had this barbecue at his house one time.
Yeah, I see my whip right.
I mean, if I had to pick one of you guys to grill for me, I'm thinking that Eddie is gonna be the best. He look like he could cook.
I'm the healthy boy.
You know what I'm saying?
This nigga ate an undone hot dog after the Juicy J show the other day, bro.
Oh, for real, bro.
Bro, that hoe was on the grill for 5 seconds, bro. She threw it on there, took it off, and sold it to his ass.
With a bacon wrap hot dog. I think she knows.
He ate all that motherfucker. Bro, even Chili told his ass. They went. He was like,
hey,
I told you.
If Chili tells you something,
dude, Chili's
not
telling you something's a ruse.
That hot dog was cold.
Something's
yeah,
fun.
He's so ugly.
Yeah, nigga, I remember that shit.
Eddie, you whatever, girl. Man,
Oh, man.
Jeez,
don't quote
me. That's too funny. Damn. Tell me stories about you guys' tour.
Oh, that's Without
dry snitching, tell me some fun shit that happened on your warehouse tour that you guys put together.
Warehouse tour?
It wasn't even a warehouse tour. It was like a regular tour.
It was like a regular tour?
We didn't even do no warehouse.
Big dog shit, regular tour.
He said big dog shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Pissing with the big boys.
Just us. You know what I'm saying? Me, Els, Bones, Chris, and Eddie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so the five of you go out.
Big screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had the big ass Sprinter van with the Xbox in it and shit and the leather seats.
What was the livest city?
Oh, dude, Iowa because Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa.
I was gonna say
I got bed bugs.
You got bed bugs in Des Moines.
I got bad bed bugs. Yeah, we didn't have a show in Des Moines, but we slept there.
Yeah,
and I got bed bugs.
Eddie,
that shit was crazy.
Who got a bloody nose?
I got no. My nose just started bleeding. I don't know why.
Yeah,
it was probably just because.
Yeah, it was like humid in the air.
Me and Zay went crazy. We almost killed each other.
Yeah, what was the city that on the tour when you guys went out? What was the city that surprised you the most draw wise?
North Carolina.
That shit was crazy. Yeah. But every city was crazy. Because the first tour we went on, it was like with 14 motherfuckers. In a van. Not like a fucking fresh ass Mercedes van. It was a fucking like church 12 van.
Skateboard 12 passenger van.
It was a bunch of us. It was cool, but it was like, it was different because there was so many personalities on tour and shit like that. And then we had even a hotel and shit. Like, we had to sleep with a lot of motherfuckers. Niggas was fighting for beds and shit.
Floor. Fuck that, though.
It was everything.
This one was easy breezy.
Yeah, so good. I was full the whole tour. I had to shit.
Every city
went to shit.
That shit was every city.
So we ate so good.
Niggas shit every
Hey, I would hope that you shit every city.
I'm saying I had to shit like
40 hours.
I had to shit because I was so full from food.
What?
We ate good. Red Lobster was a fucking like every other niggas was always trying to get Red Lobster.
Shout out to Cheddar Bay Biscuits.
You don't want to know the ingredients in those, dude.
I'm sure I don't. So wait, I feel like I kind of know what the answer is going to be, but if you guys went on a tour a year before last and it was 14 people, how does that whittle down to the core of you guys? Was it just you just noticed other people not pulling weight or not working as hard?
No, it's just like school stuff though.
Yeah,
like if you put 20 kids to pick partners or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like making a dodgeball team.
We all
when
fuck
kids
with each other.
Like mesh. They obviously just kind
of
separate.
All of us just
really, really, it was like really a lot of them guys. Like Elliot put that tour together. You know what I'm saying? He gave a lot of people opportunity.
Put both the tours together.
Yeah, exactly. Like he put put, he gave them that opportunity, like, all of us, you feel me, to get on tour and shit like that. But then it was just after, like, we fucked with each other, because when the tour was done, everybody went back home. You know, me and Bones lived in Cali. These niggas always in Cali, so it was like, we just fucked with each other, so that's how it was. Like, it wasn't like, no, like, oh, just fuck nobody. It was just like, we just...
It was like people just had to hold their weight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We just stood up. We stood up and we flexed up.
Yeah. Combination of a lot.
Heavy.
Yeah. He said we flexed up. Heavy.
I mean, it's so
Elliot, here's a question for you. On that first tour that you organized and you got a gang of motherfuckers with you, was it a thing where you could see these four working the hardest out of them and you knew that? Did you kind of have an innate sense that this was going to be what ended up happening?
So all four of them, I mean, look, I knew, with all due respect to everyone else that was on the tour, I saw all of them becoming, I see them being some of the biggest artists that are around. I see them all being stars in their own right.
And that's the part when, if you were on the tour and you're listening, they were
And the thing is that they all had their own thing going, right? And they personally, you can't deny that it's a big thing to personally fuck with each other when you're out there. You're in cramped space. You don't want to be out with someone for a month and not like them. And if you don't really care for their music and they're not pulling that much weight, it just so happens that the four guys that are bringing the most people, that have got the buzz and they got the juice, they all get along together. And that's the truth of it. I gave everyone an opportunity. I will continue to do that. But it's a business. So you have to treat it as such, and it just so happens that everyone got close, and they're the ones.
We did our work. We did what the fuck we supposed to do, and we got the fuck up.
I just want to say, Elliot saved me from the trap, too. I was fucking in Atlanta, right? I got to put this out there. This is my story. Elliot saved me, you know what I'm saying? Do. After our first tour, I had moved to Atlanta with my friends, sell drugs and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? And Elliot, like, he told me, come back, do your music you know what I'm saying? And he really pushed me, like, to get back on my rap shit heavy this year. That's why I really started, like, you know what I'm saying, like, doing my rap shit.
I can kind of never tell when you're fucking with me.
That's real shit, real shit. That's real shit. Motherfuckers don't know.
Hey, wait, Eddie, so how did you know, or how do you know people in Atlanta that had you come out?
My best friend's out there.
Oh, okay. So you're just like, yo, we're getting money out here, come through.
Exactly. Like, some shit like that. And I just went on some, like, because I was staying with these niggas, like, for a long. Even after the tour, I was still staying with these, with Ellie and Bones and shit at their house. Like, and I just went one day and left and shit. And I just was in Atlanta and shit, like, on some random shit.
Right.
But, like, he told me to come back.
He called you back and said, hey.
He said, turn up. And then, you know, all these niggas was always.
Yeah, we called them and gave them hell.
But, like, they gave me hell all the time. But, like, I came back, and that's when I turned up on my music shit, like, this year.
Do you have a background in managing before this at all?
No, I just sort of I learn as I go, just the same way that they do.
It's, you should have seen him like a year ago. This nigga is a fucking suit now. It's like Entourage. If you watch Entourage and watch Eric, he's like,
look, I can't do what they do, and so I try to help in whatever way I can. Like, I care about them as my family, and I'm a fan of all of their music. So it's like, if I try to figure out a way to get their music out there, I believe in them and I think that they could be the best. So it's like, now that's what we're doing, we're putting them out on tour.
I can't do what they do. Elliot's at home looking in the mirror, like, rapping these songs. Right now, he's like, I can't do it. He's like, fuck this shit.
He got tape on the low, though.
We're putting together now they're all doing their own thing. They're all living out in L.A. All of them, other than Eddie being 30, all of them got their own place. Everyone's doing their own thing, and we're doing it independently. We have a lot of people that have contacted us, but as of right now, we want to keep it independent, and we got a lot of things coming up. Now it's gotten so big that we can't do warehouse shows in LA anymore. So now the next show is probably going to be first couple days in December at the House of Blues on Sunset. We'll announce that soon, but that'll be the biggest.
Rest in peace, though, to that. That's sad, though.
Who?
That's sad we can't do warehouses anymore.
Yeah, bro. We can't do warehouses no more, bro.
That's kind of crazy.
We cracked it up. We killed it, bro.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a big thing. We were actually doing a warehouse show next to the last one you guys threw that got shut down, I think.
Is it like the end of the warehouse era?
You guys were happy.
We weren't happy, but once you guys' party got shut down, we were next door, and, like, all of a sudden, an influx of, like, 300 kids came over to our party. So it was like, oh, shit, turn up. So here's the thing, Elliot. Talking to you at Low End for, like, the half hour that we talked, you reminded me of all the other really great managers that I've talked to throughout the past few years, where it's like there's this common theme of you know, I recognize so-and-so's talent, but I could see that they were kind of squandering it, or, like, you know, not doing all that they could do. And I told them, like, look, we're going to coop up and fucking go through, like, a boot camp type thing. Like, where did you come up with that idea? Or is it just like a natural idea? I don't understand.
It wasn't that. It was like, look, if me having a house and having the resources can help them in any way and be out there, they wanted to be out in LA. So we gave them a spot to be out there. No one has to tell them to be motivated. Like Eddie said, like if each of them are out working on something, they all are going to, they're competitive amongst each other in a great way, right? So it's like they all want to see each other succeed, but they're all competitive with each other. So if Xavier's recording in the garage or whatever, then Chris is going to start to write, and all of them are going to start to do that thing. It was nothing decided. Nothing was ever said. We didn't sit down and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We just sort of set out and was like, this is what it is. I have a place. It made sense. Everyone came through, and now
did our thing.
Got in there. We had the resources. Got in why
there.
Not?
Yeah, we got in there and did what we had to do, juiced up. Now we all out, got our own shit, and we still putting stuff out. And we just accelerate.
If you were going to give an elevator pitch, each of you guys, of like what your music is, can we do that, or is that a fucking stupid ass generic question? I feel like a lot of the people that listen.
No,
to,
I know what you're saying.
A lot of the people that listen to my podcast in particular, I don't know that they're going to be that familiar. I don't know if our fan base has crossed paths that way, but I think you guys' movement is so valid that I wanted to have you on and try to introduce the people that listen to this to you guys, and so. Just kind of explain, like what each of you guys feel your music is about.
My shit, I feel it's you'll hate it.
It's dark.
No, not even because of the dark.
No, or, I don't think of the hate because like it's dark. But like, I'm saying the impression that I've gotten of your music is it's dark.
I mean, I don't know. If anybody hears this and decides to check it out and they do hate it, I told you so. Like, you can't be mad because I'm saying it.
Yeah. Who are your? I mean, this is such a fucking generic question.
Influences.
But yeah, I hate asking that question, but I have a feeling that like you probably grew up listening to a lot of Bone, maybe, and a lot of 3-6 Mafia.
Honestly, I like 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs, but I wasn't really like a big like fan even like that. Like I don't know, just like a lot of shit, like a lot of metal, a lot of jazz,
what kind of metal bands were you into?
Fucking the ones that have the covers of like people dying and shit. All like the really shitty, immature.
I would say though, for fans of Bone or fans of 3-6, they'll fuck with it. Eddie, what's your music all about?
Real nigga shit. I put my genre real nigga shit.
I've never heard, dude. What'd you say?
Real nigga shit.
I've never heard that.
That's my genre right there.
Damn. That is real. So never heard that shit, boy. Yeah. That's awesome.
I just talk about my life. And shit I like, you know what I'm saying? I just talk about it's such a rapper ass. You know? I just talk about, you know what I'm saying?
These bars.
I just try to, you know what I'm saying, make sure catch my swag on the track. You know what I'm saying?
Catch my swag on the track. Definitely catch his swag on the track.
I don't know. Like I said, I just kind of start going hard with music. I'm really like kind of finding myself.
You're
music.
Finding your voice, though.
Exactly.
You're
I mean, I know
dude.
My voice, but it's like it's just fucking. I don't know. Like I said, I just be real nigga shit. That's what I classify that real nigga shit.
I feel you, P.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you guys grow up on in Memphis? Like, are your influences clear through your music?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it's weird because I'm influenced by a lot of stuff, a lot of different shit. When I was growing up, a lot of weird shit. You know what I'm saying? That I just accepted just because that was the type of kid I was.
Yeah.
And shit, I don't know, bro. My shit is just... Exactly. Y'all got to go listen to it, bro. I'm crazy as hell.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So one minute I be cool, next minute I...
That's exactly... That's your shit. Crazy as hell.
I don't know. My shit retarded.
That's exactly...
Bro.
I'm crazy as hell.
I be cool,
then
I snatch you up.
That's it. Crazy
everybody
as
think,
hell.
Hey, everybody think I'm an angry ass person all the time. Truth is, I am not. I'm really happy all the time.
Yeah.
But also, his face.
He's so scary.
You do have an angry looking face. I mean, this is me on a personal tale. On Friday, I seen you at the Juicy J thing that I was working at, right? And I came up and I was like, hey, you're Xavier, right? And you're like, yeah. And I said, oh, man, I've been talking to Elliot. I think I'm going to have you guys on my podcast on Monday. And you went from like angry, serious face to like very bright smile, welcoming, like, oh,
hey,
yeah, like handshake. Yeah, like, and it was like all of a sudden
hey, look,
we were like,
we
hold on.
Homies.
So it was very welcoming and surprising. Because,
you're still cutting, nigga. Still get the katana.
Yeah.
A Nakasan.
I'll go 0 to 100 real quick. Yeah. Yeah, Chris, what's up with your shit? I feel like you're the quiet one. You're very laid back.
Yeah, my shit is just my music, bro. It's just, I just say whatever on my mind, you know what I'm saying? Whatever I say, you know what I'm saying? I say it, bro. It's my shit.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to be nobody. I ain't trying to be influenced by nobody. But you know what I'm saying? Everybody get influenced by
something. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So, It's just that's what it is.
I like Cam'ron. That's like my favorite rapper.
Yo, Cam'ron's one of my top five.
He's like an asshole on the track. That's why I like.
Hey, Purple Haze really changed my life.
Best one. Yeah. But I like actually I like Come Home With Me better. That's his first one's the best one to me.
I don't really like his music, but I don't know those songs. I like the one where he what is he see? Doesn't there a thing of him spitting on a little girl?
Oh, Killer Season.
Oh yeah, that's pretty funny.
Spit a loogie in it.
That's funny as shit.
I feel like you should do a video where you make Eddie recreate the cover of Confessions of Fire.
Is that the Usher album?
No,
I was just gonna say that.
It's the one. It's part the one two, where Cam'ron's in like a no shirt with fireman pants and with suspenders
white,
on and like
the white
holding
pants.
A sledgehammer. It's like very suspect.
Damn,
but that hilarious.
I don't know about
shout out to
Cam'ron. Killer
I might do the pink fur.
Let's wrap it up. This was a goddamn mess, I'm not going to lie. If you guys are listening, I don't know how the audio is going to be, but I had a good time talking to you guys. You guys are entertaining characters. I can tell that the rapport that you guys have with each other is something that's very refreshing, and I can understand why you guys like being around each other, because just hearing you talk amongst yourselves and laugh amongst yourselves is something that, like, like I could feel like you guys are very close friends, and that's tight. And it shows through when you guys do shows together, and I'm excited to come to one of your official shows and not just a low-end show. So before we get out of here, tell the people where they can find all of you online. Start it off, Xavier.
You can find me on Twitter.
This Twitter is at?
At Twitter, Xavier Wolf.
Xavier Wolf, it's X-A-V-E or V-I-E-R. W-U-L-F?
Yeah, and the same thing on SoundCloud, Xavier Wolf.
SoundCloud, Instagram. Xavier you're branded, Wolf. Bro. You're branded up.
Then the HollowSquad.com, you know what I'm saying? Come through, you know.
HollowSquad.com.
The HollowSquad.
TheHollowSquad.com. And then you guys also have like you guys have a Sesh Hollow Water Boys Twitter as well?
No? That's just a one of fan.
Okay. Oh, it's like a fan. That's just
yeah, started. He had all the promo. Yeah. Shout out to homies Zinda. Yeah.
Okay. That's hey, you know you're doing it when you just got fan Twitter.
Yeah, I know. He just hooked it up.
Chris, where can the people find you online?
At Kenshin Travis, KenshinTravis. That's on every social.
SoundCloud, Twitter, Instagram, everything.
Yeah, all this shit. I ain't never tried.
There you go. Eddie.
Eddie Baker on all social networks. E-D-D-Y Baker. And then on Instagram. He's so ugly. Why is he so ugly? Man. Instagram, you can find me at Eduardo Pandetto. You know what I'm saying? I'm half Mexican. Plug to that. Shout out to my Latinos, Latinas.
Oh, my God.
Eduardo Pandetto. SoundCloud, Eddie Baker.
Bones, where can the people find you online?
I got an eBay store. I don't know why that's funny, but it's called the it's like Truck Nut Superstore it's back score. Underscore 5. And don't get thrown off by like the truck novelty nuts, like you know truck nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
I dabble a little bit. I do sell those.
Custom truck nuts. Painted truck nuts.
Well, they're not painted. They're iodized. It's a big science into it, but it's just truck nuts. So that's it. That's where you can get it. So
I'm gonna put your Twitter at the beginning of the podcast just to spite you.
No, it's at truck nuts with a Z. So
at truck nuts with a Z.
Oh yeah, Twitter at truck nuts with a Z.
Okay, there you go. Elliot, since you became a part of this, tell people where they can find you online.
At Elliot O'Connor for all the Sesh Hollow Water Boys info.
That's very nice.
Hit him up.
Nice. Ewok.
There you go. And then you guys have a YouTube channel that has a ton of content on it. That's youtube.com/...
We got separate YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has individual ones?
Yeah.
Oh, Eddie Baker 420.
All their social media.
Yeah.
Twitter.
I mean, if you guys are bored at home one day, just start YouTube searching these guys.
Just search us up.
You gotta search
us up. Search us up and talk some shit. Find something you don't like.
If you're 12 minutes into a fucking audio interview about people you don't know, I don't think you even will get this far. You might have looked this up already. Not hearing this at all. Or this might not even... The guy in the room, Ben. He's gonna hear this later and he's gonna realize it's not usable. There's too much over here.
He's listening.
This
now
probably
and
not just gonna get dropped. It's not gonna come out.
Ben.
It's not coming out. So
there's probably a tad bit of reality to that, but I'm gonna yell at him and be like, "Look, bro, make it work," and he's gonna do surgery.
Or just tell people it's a really edgy
Yeah, like, this
it's a documentary.
This is our first one that's going to have bad audio quality, because usually we take pride in the fact that like everyone's like right on mic and like blah blah blah.
No,
blah,
people
blah.
Be like, "Oh, perfect. Dude, Nardwar used to do this. You know, the cassette, the amateur style. I love it. I love it."
No, yeah, this is my VHS version podcast.
I was just saying, people start doing it now, like fucking using mics over
exactly.
here.
Exactly. I'm just biting you guys' aesthetic right now. Anyway, my name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery, except for today, where it's going to be fucking impossible.
I got you, Ben Shim. I'm going to hit you with that follow in a second.
Ben Shim, follow you right now.
At IM Database, based with two S's.
Hey, fucking Baker, bitch.
That's two S's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Follow Kinda Neat at That's Kinda Neat, YouTube.com/ That's Kinda Neat, Facebook.com/ Kinda Neat. Anyway, my name is Lee, and this was the Sesh Hollow Water Boys, and this was Kinda Neat.